الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Before beginning this khutbah, brothers and sisters in Islam, we want to inform both you, the brothers and the sisters, that when the Prophet was giving the khutbah one Friday, one Jumu'ah, and a man came in and sat down, he commanded the man to stand back up and perform two raka'ah tahiyat al-masjid. And he said to the man, when any of you enters into the masjid and the imam is giving the khutbah, do not sit down until you make two raka'ah. So those of you who have come in and you have sat down, obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stand up and make two raka'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram. Those things in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no one can make haram except Allah. Out of all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for the creatures that He has created, the haram is the smallest circle and the halal is the largest circle. And we'd like to share with you, brothers and sisters in Islam, an important principle in Sharia. And that important principle, of which every Muslim should know, is that in terms of aqidah and ibadah and akhlaq, in terms of belief, in terms of worship, and in terms of our character, our moral behavior, the door is closed. And no one can introduce anything into our beliefs or our worship or our moral behavior except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can bring anything into this deen of Islam except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, figuratively speaking, opens the door for them to introduce something. And that will never happen because the deen was completed with the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's death. On the other side of the coin, anything that is outside of the worship or the beliefs, anything that is outside the worships or the beliefs of the Muslims, the door is wide open, meaning everything is halal except that Allah or His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has made it haram. I repeat, this is a very important principle in Islam. And the only one that can make haram or halal is Allah. تَحْلِيلُ وَالتَّحْرِيمُ حَقَّ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهِ. The making halal and the haram is the right of Allah alone. I repeat, in terms of belief and worship, the door is shut tight. No one can come and open that door and introduce anything into our beliefs or our worship. An example, no one can say that we should believe that Allah is a man. The door is closed, we know Allah is not a man. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Likewise in worship, no one can come and say now there's five raka'ah for Zuhr, or six raka'ah for Isha, or two raka'ah for Maghrib. the door is closed. In our belief, in our worship, the door is closed. As for anything else, like buying, like selling, like eating, like drinking, like recreation, like entertainment, the door is wide open. And no one can say something is haram unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lawgiver, al-hakim, the all-wise, makes it haram. An example, no one can say to a brother who's sitting in the masjid or sitting outside or in a restaurant, is it permissible for you to drink that Morbi? Is it permissible for you to drink that Tropicana orange juice? Is it permissible for you to eat that mango chutney? Is it permissible for you to wear that shirt? No one can say to him those words because the door is wide open. The door is wide open and nothing is haram unless Allah makes it haram. And the circle, the arena for the haram, believe it or not, is very, very small. Very small. The majority of the things that Allah has created for us are halal. Likewise, buying and selling is permissible. No Muslim should be afraid to buy and sell. But there are some areas in buying and selling and contracts in general. Because buying and selling is a form of contract. In contracts in general, there are some things that are haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ حَرَّمَ الْبَيْعَ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالْخَمْرَ وَالْخَنْزِيرَ وَالْأَصْنَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ حَرَّمَ بَيْعَ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالْخَمْرَ والخنزير والأصنام. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, surely Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam has made forbidden, has made haram, has proscribed, has made mahzur, has made mamnu', la yajuz, it's not permissible for anyone to sell the dead meat, meaning the meat from the animal that falls from a height. Haram. Any animal that falls from a height, like a cliff or a roof or anything like this, and dies, is not permissible. Even if you say, when you get to that animal and it's dead, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and you slaughter it according to the Sharia, it's haram. Likewise, the animal that is gorged by other animals, it is haram. Likewise, the animal that has been suffocated either by gas, strangling, or drowning, haram. Likewise, the animal that has been electrocuted or killed by stun gun, if the stunning kills it, haram. Allah has made the sale of that animal haram. So the brothers and the sisters who have businesses blessed by Allah, and then they corrupt their businesses, making their works vain and fruitless, as Allah warns us not to do in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَتِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْتِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and do not render your actions and your deeds fruitless and vain. So the person who says, who owns a grocery store, a 7-Eleven, or anything like that, and says, I'm not eating the haram meat, I'm only selling it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ حَرَّمَ بَيْعَ الْمَيْتَةِ. Allah and His Messenger has made it haram for you to sell it, as well as eating it. And Allah and His Messenger has made haram. Remember, brothers and sisters, buying and selling is halal, and the circle or the arena or the area in that is very small for the haram. Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has made also the selling of khamr haram. So the Muslim once again tries to circumvent and round, go around the ayat and the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say, "I'm not using drugs. I'm not using alcohol. I'm only selling it. I'm only selling the whiskey. How am I going to earn a living? I'm only selling the wine. I'm only selling the beer. No, I'm not taking it. I'm not drinking it." And first of all, brother, khamr is only those things that are in liquid form. Whiskey and wine and gin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu khamrin haramun." Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any and everything that intoxicates is khamr. And every and any khamr is haram. So that means whether you inject it intravenously, intramuscularly, you take it sublingually under the tongue, you shoot it in the side of your cheek and the inside of your mouth, you take the eyedropper and you put it in your eye and let it go down into your eye, you put it into your nose, if you put it into your ear, if you smoke it, if you drink it, if you snort it, no matter what form you take it, it's khamr if it intoxicates, and it is haram. The intake of it and the sales of it. So those brothers who Allah has blessed to finish the kafir school and with their degree and pharmacology, you better go to the people of knowledge and talk to them. Go to the ulama, the scholars of Islam, and ask them, is it permissible for me to sell codeine? Is it permissible for me to sell barbiturates? Is it permissible for me to sell amphetamines? Instead of just opening up the store, opening up the pharmacy, and selling, and looking at the people on the street who sell crack cocaine with disdain down your noses when you yourself are selling the haram. This is a serious issue, brothers and sisters. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ حَرَّمَ الْبَيْعَ مَيْتَةَ وَالْخَمَرُ. Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has made the sale of the dead animal and the khamr haram. Likewise, Allah and His Messenger has made haram the sales, not just the consumption, the sales of the khanzir. And the khanzir, brothers and sisters in Islam, is just not pig feet. It's just not the stripe of the pig. It's just not the tail of the pig. It's just not the blood of the pig. It's all of the pig. The chitlins, the thighs, the feet, the everything. The tongue, everything is haram, including the byproducts. Including the byproducts. Those products that come from the pig is also haram. And the scholars of Islam say, مَا أَدَّ إِلَى الْحَرَامِ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. Whatever leads to the haram, itself is haram. Whatever leads to the haram, itself is haram. So the sales of the pig in any form or fashion is haram. Likewise, al-asnam. Likewise, statues, idols. Some Muslims, and you would probably be shocked, brothers and sisters, to know that some Muslims actually sell St. Luke images, St. Luke statues, St. Luke idols for the Catholics. Wa'iyadhu billah. Some Muslims actually sell St. Christopher, the little idol that the Christian kuffar mushrikun, hadahum Allah, may Allah guide them to Islam. They place this so-called saint, St. Christopher, on their dashboards in their cars. And do you know what it's supposed to do for them? It's supposed to give them protection. So some Muslim who sells this saying, well, I'm only selling it to them. You are contributing to their shirk. You are contributing to their kufr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not help one another in sin and transgression. And what is the greatest sin, brothers? My beloved sisters in Islam, what is the greatest transgression? There is no sin or transgression greater than a shirk. And then some Muslims say, well, no, I'm not selling St. Christopher. I'm not selling St. Luke. I'm not selling St. Paul. I'm not selling images of the Pope or the Cardinal. I'm selling Buddha. I'm selling Buddha. I'm selling a little fat man with a bald head that the people all around the world worship. Allah has made it haram to sell statues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram to sell idols. And wallahi al-azim, Michael Jordan is an idol. Wallahi, Michael Jordan is an idol. And if you sell that poster of Michael Jordan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, it's haram. Because wallahi, the people worship Michael Jordan. He is an icon today. If you sell it, and Allah knows best, you're selling the haram. On a t-shirt, on a poster, or otherwise. Look how many children around the United States and the world have Michael Jordan up on their walls in their rooms. Janet Jackson, and all of those kuffar who are leading people to the hellfire through the worship of them. And there was no shirk in the history of mankind for 10 full generations of human history between Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and the prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. 10 full generations of no shirk, pure tawheed. No shirk, brothers and sisters, for 10 full generations until what came? Until pictures came. Until images came. Until statues came. That's when shirk made its way into the history of human beings. And this is why it's haram. So brothers and sisters in Islam, buying and selling is permissible. Contracts between each other is permissible. But we ask you and we beg you in the name of Allah, stay away from selling the haram. Stay away from buying the haram. Stay away from making contracts with the haram. And fulfill all your contracts with the Muslims and the non-Muslims, whether they're Jew or Christian. Keep your contract that you make between yourselves. Keep your contract between yourselves and your wives, yourselves and your husbands, no matter who or what the person is. Keep your contract. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Please come forward, brothers. Inshallah, give some room to the people in the back. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man astanna bi sunnatihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the imams and the sheikh, the shuyukh, and the people of knowledge, the du'at, the callers to Islam, and the respected leaders of the masjid here in this country, they have a very difficult job. A very, very difficult job. And the job of an imam in the United States of America is probably more than likely more difficult than an imam's job in Lahore, Pakistan. It's probably more difficult than an imam's job in Istanbul, Turkey. It's probably more difficult than any imam's job even in Mecca at Masjid al-Haram. Why? It's because the imam's job in America makes him a psychologist. It makes him a psychiatrist. It makes him a lawyer. It makes him a mother. It makes him a father. It makes him an uncle. It makes him an advisor and a counselor. He has to wear all types of kufis and turbans, all types of hats, dealing with the problems of the Muslims in this corrupted, nefarious, unscrupulous country that probably, and Allah knows best, half of the people are insane. Half of the people are mixed up. Half of the people are dysfunctional. And the imams have to deal with these problems. And one of the problems that the imams have to deal with, brothers and sisters, those respected imams who take the reins of leadership in these masjids, or the people designated to deal with the problems of the Muslims in America, whose problems, and Allah knows best, is unlike any problem any place else in the world. Because of the nature of the United States of America, we have the issue of not keeping contracts when we make them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. O you who believe, fulfill all your contracts. Fulfill all your contracts. All your undertakings. Fulfill all of them. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a commandment by Allah in his book. We have to keep all contracts that we make. And then when something happens between two parties or more, a contract that has been made either through buying and selling or through marriage or, unfortunately, after that divorce, people start switching up. People start going around the issues. People start becoming deceptive. People start lying. An example, brothers and sisters in Islam, it is not permissible for you, brothers. It is not permissible for you, sisters upstairs, listening to my voice, inshallah ta'ala, to give someone a check from your checkbook and not tell them, listen to the condition, not tell them that the money is not there. It's not permissible to write a check and then give it to your brother or your sister in Islam or Mr. Tantumbaum, the Jew, the Kafa Mushrik, descendant of apes and pigs. It is not permissible to give it to the Christian, Mr. Johnson. It is not permissible to deceive anyone, man ghashana falaysa minna, whoever deceives us is not of us. It is not permissible to write a check making the person think without telling them that there's $300 good for that check, and then go after that Monday or Tuesday after giving to them on Friday and trying to put the money in the bank. It's haram. You've deceived them. What if you died? What if you died, brothers and sisters? What if something happens to you? You stole. You've taken the services of someone. You purchased some books. You purchased some material. Whatever you purchased, you give them a check, and it's made out of the same thing that your tires on your car is made from. It bounces. And you knew it before you gave it to them. The condition is, brothers and sisters, if you give somebody a check, you are now making a bay'ah. You're making an ahd. You're making an aqd. You're making a sale. You're making a contract between you and him. You are saying, in actuality, this is money. And you can guarantee that you're going to get your money. It is not permissible to give someone a check and there's no money there to cover it. Likewise, brothers and sisters, it's not permissible for a Muslim, male or female, to contract something with another person. For instance, a brother pays you some money to come and fix your automobile. He gives you the money to pay to fix the automobile and you don't finish the job. He gives you money to come and fix your toilet or your boiler in your basement and you don't finish the job. You leave without finishing the job and you had no excuses. This is not permissible, brothers and sisters. Al-Muslimuna ala shurutihim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Muslims are bound to their conditions. Likewise, the sister comes to your house. She wants to get the chill bath made. She wants to get an overgarment made. So she gives you a deposit. And you start making it. And then she comes and pays you the rest of the money. And it's not finished. Or you move away and you don't tell her. Or whatever. And you don't give her her money back. It's not permissible, brothers and sisters. So the imams now have to deal with this. The imams in the United States in these masjids and these Islamic centers have to deal with the issue of you half finishing the brother's roof. He paid you to fix his roof, and now winter comes, and he paid you in May, and now it's February, and now it snows on the brother, or it rains on the sisters, and you take their money and run. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was guided by Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the people who would come to him with disputes, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ وَإِنَّهُ يَدِينِ الْخَصْمُ لَعَلَّ بَعْدٌ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَبْلَغَ مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَأَقْضِي لَهُ بِذَلِكَ وَأَحْسِبُ أَنَّهُ صَادِقٌ فَمَنْ قَضَيْتُ لَهُ بِحَقِّ مُسْلِمٍ فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ قِطَعَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ فَلْيَأْخُذَهَا أَوْ لْيَضَعْهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, I'm only a human being. This is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the thing that separates him from us, even though he's a human being, is that he received revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِقَ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. He does not speak of his own desires, revelation in which he's inspired with. That's the difference between he and you and he. He is revelation he receives. He says, I'm only a human being. And sometimes the disputants come to me. Sometimes the defendant and the plaintiff comes to me. I gave this sister $60 to fix an overgarment, and she didn't finish making the overgarment, or she took my money and didn't do the job. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and sometimes the defendant and the plaintiff, they come to me. The disputant come to me, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And perhaps the person, one of them, one of the two, they have the gift of gab. Maybe one of them has an eloquent tongue. Maybe one has the ability to switch words and use words, be flowery in his speech or her speech. And I make a judgment on that, thinking that the person is telling the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, if I make a judgment on behalf of the person who was lying, who was deceptive, who was cheating, the Muslim or the kafir, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that which they have taken from the right of their brother or their sister or the kafir, what they have taken is a piece of the hellfire. So let them either take it or leave it. So brothers and sisters in Islam, it is not permissible to make a contract with a Muslim or otherwise and not fulfill your contracts, whether it is buying and selling or whether it is in marriage and divorce, no matter what kind of contract. And to end this, brothers and sisters in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ الظُّنُوبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ رَجُلٌ تَزَوَّجَ امْرَأَةً رَجُلٌ تَزَوَّجَ امْرَأَةً ثُمْ فَلَمَّا قَضَى حَاجَتَهُ مِنْهَا طَلَّقَهَا وَذَهَبَ بِمَهْرِهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, of the most tremendous, most heinous sins with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is that a man marries a woman. Listen, brothers, a man marries a woman and then he fulfills. the sin, which is also tremendous with Allah. رَجُلٌ اسْتَعْمَلَ رَجُلًا ثُمَّ ذَهَبَ أَوْ فَذَهَبَ بِأُجْرَتِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, a man hires a man to do something and then he runs away with the payment, meaning he doesn't pay the person for the job that he has done. As some of the people of the past say, that the person should be paid before the sweat dries from his brow. And if this can be attributed to the Messenger of Allah or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So brothers and sisters in Islam, making contracts is permissible in Islam. Buying and selling is permissible in Islam. But we must fulfill all of our trust. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely Allah has commanded you to return all of the deposits, all of the trust, all of the things that you have in your possession that belong to someone else, return it to its rightful owners. This is a commandment. This is a commandment, brothers and sisters. And we are not to go and lie to the imam or deceive the imam with the gift of gab, with the gift of eloquent speech, fooling the imam or the sheikh or the person who is listening to our case, fooling them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتُدُلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ وَتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not eat of your wealth, meaning the Muslim, your brother's wealth, your sister's wealth, with the batil. That which you have between yourselves, don't eat it with the batil. What is the batil? That which you take from music, the earnings that you take from singing, the earnings that you take from selling the khanzir, the earnings that you take from selling the afnan, the idol, the earnings that you take from the khamr, from the intoxicants. All of these things and more are part of the batil. And don't go to the judges, the person who listens to your dispute, and you try to bribe them. You give them a little money under the table. You say, I'm going to do this for you. I'll give you my daughter if you do this. I'll do this or that for you. Allah has made it forbidden to take and eat to devour the property of the Muslim, even if it's a shoestring. Even if it's a shoestring. It's impermissible for us to take the wealth of the Muslims with sin. And you know it. And the scholars of the past used to say that you should not make a dispute in front of the judge. لا تخاصموا لا تخاصموا وأنت تعلم إنك ظالم. Don't go to the judge making the dispute when you already know that you're wrong. You already know you're lying. You already know that you took that sister's money. You already know that you took that brother's money by not fixing his motor in his car. So why are you going to go to the imam or the sheikh and sit down in front of him and try to argue your case when you know that you're a liar? إِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورِ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. Lying leads to sin, and sin leads to the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us comfortable and make sufficient for us the halal. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also make us of those who return those things that belong to the people that they belong to before we die. Even if it's a library book from the public library that you stole and then marked out the number. You stole it. That's what it's done. You have stolen it. If you took the book from the library and you marked out the number 5 years ago and you didn't return it to the library, you have stolen it. May Allah not make us of these people. Allah make us of those who tell the truth. Allah make us of those who are honest. Allah make us of those who are trustworthy. Allah make us of those who the people look at us as people who have good character. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ.